So for the last 5 weeks, 4 weeks, last 4 weeks, we've gone through commandment 1 through 4, and today we are on command number 5. So God's big 10, things that he thought were so important that he had to say, this is what I command you to do. We're on number 5, which is honor. Honoring your fathers and mothers. You know, let me just, rhetorical question. Why would God put honoring your parents in the 10 most important things that we should and must do? I'll leave it there for a moment. Now, I started to prepare this sermon, and I started to think back to when I would listen to sermons, and this would have been a sermon that now at age 38, I would have thought, I get a break this week. This is for all those young kids out there that need to obey me or their parents. So I'm just going to sit back and, you know, listen a little bit. And, you know, I kind of get a break. Because honestly, I always felt like when I came into church that God was going to speak to me, which, you know, we should feel that way, right? So I would come to church thinking, okay, what's God have to say to me today? And then I'd hear that the pastor would say his sermon message. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to get beat up today so bad. Okay, I'm just going to take it. So I was thinking, if I was in the congregation and I heard the pastor say, okay, today is commandment number 5, honor your mother and your father. I think, I've got 2 kids. I don't live with my parents anymore. I get a pass this week. I get to sit back and just enjoy the message and not feel like I have to change anything in myself. That is not what's going to happen today. Okay. Why would God put honoring your parents in the 10 most important things we must do in our lives? Especially this, since, I mean, God knew that man would fall. So in that, God knew there would be bad parents. And I've heard people say, I've heard people that have turned their lives over to the Lord and said, you know what, I have a hard time relating to this God, my heavenly Father, and how he saves me, because I had a horrible dad. And he was so mean to me, so it's hard for me to relate to a good father when I had a bad father. Well, Pastor, how am I supposed to honor my dad when he's a jerk? You tell me that God says I should honor the jerk dad? Or how can I honor a dad that doesn't believe in God? How do I do this? Why, God, would you put honor my parents, my mother and my father, as one of the 10 most important things I must do? And in fact, the very first one that has to do with our relationships with one another. Because again, the first 4 commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The next 6 have to do with our relationship with other people around us. And all of them are about living a better, blessed life before God. Here is why God put honor your mother, or your father and your mother in the 10 commandments. Because God is trying to establish a principle in our lives. As I've said the last number of weeks, the 10 commandments, they're not just do this because. These are principles for life. If you will follow this principle, you will have a better life. And God has established this principle of honor. If you will learn how to have honor in your life, you will have a better life. That is what he is trying to teach us here. God is doing something for our good, for our benefit, in giving us the 10 commandments. And they're not an Old Testament thing, okay? Again, like I said last week, you know, God is not temporal. He is the eternal God. And we were talking about the Sabbath last week. Sabbath is not an Old Testament thing. Passover is not an Old Testament thing. These are eternal principles and things that we should recognize and celebrate in our lives because God is eternal. Honoring your parents is not an Old Testament thing. This is an eternal principle that God has put forward for us. Honor. Honor is foundational to our lives. And without it, without honor in your life, without honor as a principle in your life, you will not be successful as a person, whether you're a Christian or not. And you especially will not be successful as a believer, as a Christian, if you do not have honor in your life. I think God put honor your father and mother as one of the new, as the 10 commandments, because as a young child, the first person of authority in your life is going to be your parents. Like them or not, they are there. And so God is saying, okay, we've talked about you and me, you know, this way, between us and God in the first four. Now, in the next six, between our relationships with one another, you have to learn honor at a young age. Because if you don't get it when you're young, you're going to miss it when you're old. So honor your mom and your dad while you're young. Be trained up in that way. So that way, when you're out of the house, you understand honoring the authorities that are over you. Because I don't care who you are, somebody is over your life. And your relationship with that person over your life will determine your success and your blessing. So we want to focus on three things this morning. If you have your notes, they're in your bulletins. Does anybody not have notes? My wife asked me last week, where do you put the notes at? She goes, where do you put the notes at? That's how it was. And I said, well, they're in the bulletin. She goes, well, what about if you don't have a bulletin? Well, okay, if more people would like notes, let me know, and I will print out a bigger stack and have them in the back if anybody wants to follow along with the message this morning. Next week's message, not this week's. So if you didn't get a bulletin, you probably may not have notes. So if you want them, give me some feedback, let me know, and I'll put them out there next week. So number one is this. Honor. What does it produce in our lives? Honor produces greater faith. Well, how does that work? We'll talk about it right now. If you want to have greater faith to believe greater things for God, then you must have honor in your life. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It takes faith. Do this so that you may have this. It's something that we do before we have something else. We're believing that we will have a promised land, a long life, blessing. See, the majority of the people, I mean, think about this. Okay, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that most of those who came out of Egypt did not go into the promised land? In fact, God said, okay, anybody over the age of 20 that left Egypt does not get to go into the promised land. Except for Caleb and Joshua. Do you know why everybody 20 years and older did not go into the promised land? Anybody? Give me an answer. Alan.
They didn't believe the message that the 10 spies went into the land.
Exactly. The key. They did not believe what God said. Disbelief, unbelief, is having no faith. God said, go in. They said, I'm sorry, I don't believe, I'm not going to do it. They did not honor the command that God had before them. Because they dishonored God, they did not get to go into the promised land. If honoring produces faith, the children of Israel, who were 20 years and older, didn't enter the promised land because they did not believe and did not have faith to believe what God had said to them. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. It says, that is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw the miracles for 40 years. The children of Israel, it's not like God said, follow me blindly. You have the 10 plagues. You have the Red Sea parting. You have provision in the wilderness. All these things that took place. And yet when it came time to enter into the promised land, they said, who are we in the sight of these monsters, these giants? We're so small. We can't trust God. And so they dishonored God's command. And as a result, they had unbelief in their hearts. And they were not let into the promised land. Go to Mark chapter 6. Again, this verse 1. We're focusing on the fact that if you have honor in your life, it will produce faith. Honor produces faith. Verse 1, it says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph and Judas and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Disbelief, right? And look at how they're talking about him. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Is that honorable or dishonorable? Dishonorable. Verse 4. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere, except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them, except to place his hand on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." Why did they have unbelief in their hearts? Because they didn't honor who he was. Honor produces faith in our lives. Have you ever heard the term familiarity breeds contempt? The word familiarity comes from what word? Family. Who are the easiest people to take advantage of or be dishonorable to? Those who you're closest to. Those who you see the good, the bad, and the ugly every single day, in and out. Have you ever been told, you don't have to raise your hand, "Do what I say, not what I do"? Why is it that parents say that? Because they're obviously wanting you to do something. They know they're not setting the example they should, and because they have acted in a way that is honestly not... you're not to follow. They're saying, "Don't dishonor me, just obey me." It's not a bad saying. "Well, Daddy, you get to eat in the TV room. Hey, do what I say, not what I do. It's my house, I built it, you live in my house, you do what I say. You honor me." Right? But familiarity can breed contempt. Well, why do they get to do it? Well, they act one way here and different at home. And all of a sudden, a child can build contempt in their heart towards their parents. And God says, "Don't do that. Honor. Honor your mom. Honor your dad." Don't yet familiarity with them get you to a place where you hold things against them. Because that will lessen your faith. It'll destroy you. This is what they are saying about Jesus. "We know this guy. There's nothing special about him. He's the son of a carpenter. Nothing great about him. I don't believe it because I dishonor him." You know, there's a man in the Bible, the Roman centurion. He's a Roman centurion that he came to Jesus in the time of his ministry and says, "Jesus, I have a servant who is sick." And Jesus says, "Okay, let's come to your place and let's lay our hands on him and see this man healed." And he goes, no, you don't have to come. You know, so because I'm a man with authority. And I'm also a man who's under authority. And I can say to my garrison, I can say, "You go and do this," and they will do it because of who I am. And the same way I know that you, Jesus, are also an authority. And all you have to do is say it. Be healed and it'll happen. And Jesus says, "I'm amazed. I have not seen faith like this anywhere that I've gone." He was a man, the centurion, who understood authority. He says, "You know what? People have to honor my authority because of that which I have. And I have to honor the authority that's over me. I know that you are God and that you have all authority, and I honor your authority. So just say it and it'll be done." Because he believed and honored, he had the faith to see it take place. And that's what Jesus said. He says, "I have not seen faith like this in anywhere that I've gone." Honor produces faith in our lives. This is why this is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Do this. It's a principle that will create greater faith for us in what we do. We live in a time, in fact, in a lot of ways, it's been called the faithless generation. We live in a time where churches are smaller now than they've ever been, where more people are questioning God, using his name in vain, scoffing at what he says than any time before. The reason why we are probably in the greatest, the most faithless generation that's ever been on this earth is because it's also probably the most dishonoring generation of authority figures. Just go on Facebook. From young to old, dishonorable towards authority figures. The media, all this stuff. I mean, we live in such a dishonorable time. And because there's so much dishonor in this generation, it's a faithless generation. Why would God put honor your mother and your father and your mother, in his top 10 most important things? Because he is trying to get us to understand to honor your father and mother. And if we can learn to do this first, when the other parts of our life, as we grow up, we will naturally honor those who are above us. It's so that you can honor authority. And so that as a result of that honoring authority, you can have faith. Have you ever heard this phrase? And if you've said it, don't raise your hand. Well, no one's going to tell me what to do. Okay, people who say that end up in one of two places. The army or prison. Seriously, I mean, think about that. I mean, how many guys, you're not going to tell me what to do. And then the next thing you know, they're in boot camp. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Or they're not going to tell me what to do. Okay, well, we'll see you in 5 to 20, you know. Honor. Honor produces faith. I mean, okay, maybe you got lucky. Maybe, well, honestly, probably you learned how to honor. That's why you didn't end up in the military, or which is a good thing. I love the military. I mean, I'm thankful for them. But there are those people that seem to like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Well, I can't get a job anywhere. Nobody wants to hire me. Well, guess I better go to the army because at least then I'll have, you know, 3 squares a day and, you know, something for a future. And so they learn. Yes, sir. No, sir. How high do you want me to jump? I will jump. Okay. Second point. Honor produces blessing. Honor will produce blessing in our lives. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here Paul is, you know, re-saying this same commandment. He says, children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. My daughters have that memorized. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. And you will have a long life on earth. Children are told to do two things. Obey and honor. So what's the difference between the two? It's in your notes. First is this. To obey your parents is you do what you're told to do when you live in their home. Now, how many of you ever said this? You're at your parents' house, I don't need to obey my parents anymore. I don't live there anymore. I have said that. But honor is when you grow up, you move out of their house, but you still honor your parents. You don't speak poorly of them. You don't badmouth them to your kids or to your neighbors or to your uncles or aunts. I mean, you honor your parents. You obey your parents in their homes. You honor them when you move out. You continue to honor them in their lives. I was never had to be told this. I've heard it said before. Actually, you know what? I have been told this. As long as you live in my house and I pay the bills, you're going to do it my way. Did that help anybody besides me? And you know what? I said, okay. The hope is that, here's what the hope is for a parent. And I was blessed, number one, to be raised in church. Number two, to have parents that made me toe the line. And number three, as I towed the line and obeyed them, they gave me freedoms. I've shared this before. I mean, I remember, especially when I was a youth pastor, cell phones were just coming out. Texting was just barely happening at that point. And I remember kids in our youth group were like, oh, my parents want me to check in with them. Call them, let them know where I'm at. And I said, you know what? When I was in school, we had to go to the neighbor's house 2 miles away, dial, and call and say, okay, hey, we're okay. You have a cell phone now. You can text. You don't even have to talk to them. But here's the thing. I never had to have a curfew. I had no rules in my life when I turned 16. When I got my driver's license, the world was mine. South Pacific County, anywhere I wanted to go, and Clatsop County because we had Astoria. But the reason why I had those tremendous freedoms, even before that, I remember I was 14 and I had tremendous freedom because my parents knew that they could trust me because I would obey them. They knew that as I was out on the town, that I would honor them by how I acted outside of their presence. And as I honored my parents and obeyed them, I got more freedom and more freedom and more freedom. I said, all I do is just check in before we go to bed. Let us know when you're going to be home. That's all that was required of me. I was blessed growing up with freedom because I honored my parents. But the same thing continues with us today. If you honor God, you'll be blessed. If you honor the authorities over your life, you will also be blessed. You see, if a teenager doesn't understand the principle of honor, if they're not maturing as they should, then as a parent, you can't trust them and give them more freedom. That's just the consequences of it. So what is the promise that Paul talks about here in Galatians or Ephesians chapter 6? He says, yes, that you may live a long life, but that things will go well for you. I mean, think about that. He says, things will go well for you, and you will live a long life. And I was thinking about that. It's this. You don't want to live a long life if things aren't going well for you, right? Like, when will this get over? Well, when you have honor in your life, things are going to go well for you, and you're going to live a long life. But there's a lot of people that live a long life that wish it'd just be over because they didn't learn how to honor. You know, it's crazy. I've seen children, whether it's brother and brother, brother and sister and sister, same parents, same upbringing, yet two very different results. I'm thinking of one right now in particular where the older daughter, I mean, I remember hearing not firsthand this conversation, but just that, if you're not going to follow my rules, you can't be in my house. I remember at age 17, she moved out, still having a hard life. Then her brother, who's a year younger than me, honored his parents. He's highly successful. He's been blessed. Exact same parents, two different outcomes from children. A younger who honored his mom and dad, an older who is rebellious and dishonored. One is blessed. One is still struggling greatly. Honor brings blessing to us. There's a promise of blessing. A couple of quick verses. Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. This word submit is actually a military term. It means to do without question. Yes, sir. Right away, sir. That's what it means. I think the King James says subject. Subject yourself to governing authorities. We pay taxes because we're supposed to pay taxes. We obey the law because we're supposed to obey the law. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 first. I think 51 will show up there. But some pretext to this, Joseph and Mary were looking for Jesus. And it says, you know, they found him in the temple debating with the priests. And after they came back, I mean, and they'd already gone on their way, going back home, like, where's Jesus at? They go all the way back, and they find him there in the temple. And they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? Hey, when I say we're going, young man, God, we're going. And he said, okay, absolutely, Mom and Dad, I'm on my way. And so it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and with the favor with God and all people. But look at verse 51. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. This word obedient is the same word that's used in Romans chapter 13 to submit. It's a military term which says you do it because you're told to do it. Yes, sir, I will right away. So when Jesus honored his mother and father, and from that day forward, not once did he go to the side. It says that he had favor with God and all people. Because honor brings blessing into our lives. Just a couple more quick verses. Exodus 21, 15 through 17, or Exodus 16 and 17. Anyone who strikes a father or mother must be put to death. That's verse 15. Verse 17. Anyone who dishonors father or mother must be put to death. Pretty serious. Proverbs 20:20. If you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. Romans 1:30. They are, okay, this is a whole list of bad people. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, is another list. It says, for people will love only themselves and their money. This is talking about the last days. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. God is very concerned with how we honor our mother and our father, how we honor the authorities that are over our lives. And we need to learn it at a young age so that when we're older, we'll be blessed, so that we'll be people of faith. There's a proverb, something that I do every day is I read a proverb every day because there's 31 days typically in a month, they're give or take, unless you're February or, you know, every other month. And so whatever day of the week it is, if it's today is what, the 4th? So read Proverbs chapter 4 today. So there's a proverb, when you get to Proverbs chapter 30, so we just read this and I was going through it again and there's two verses that always seem like out of place. Why are these two verses here? And I'll read them, and then I want to read the whole context. So Proverbs chapter 30, if you look at verses 15 and 16, it says, the leech has two suckers that cry out, more, more. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that are never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, a thirsty desert, and a blazing fire. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that. But now let's look in the context of this passage in the light of what it is to honor. So skip back to verse 11. This is talking about a generation of people that don't honor their parents. It says, some people curse their father and do not thank their mother. Verse 12, they are pure in their own eyes, but they are filthy and unwashed. They look proudly around, casting disdainful glances. They have teeth like swords and fangs like knives. They devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among humanity. This is a people group who dishonors their parents. Now look at verses 15 and 16. The leech has two suckers that cry, more, more. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that are never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, and the blazing fire. Verse 17. The eye that mocks a father. So look at this. The first couple of verses talks about a disobedient, disrespectful, dishonoring child. And then it goes to verses 15 and 16 where it says, they always take, they take, they're ungrateful, they're never satisfied. And then it goes to verse 17, the eye that mocks a father goes back to, again, this dishonoring thing, and despises a mother's instructions will be plucked out by ravens by the valley of the valley and eaten by vultures. It starts out with dishonoring. In the middle, it's like, well, I deserve this. An entitlement generation. This is what this is talking about. Well, I should have a job. I've gone to college for 4 years. My parents paid for it. Oh, you're just... I shouldn't have to work. The only thing you're entitled to is breath. Okay. Sorry. Those who feel entitled, they can never have enough because they have not grown up with honor in their lives. That's what it's all about. The Bible has so many more verses about honor, but we need to hurry up. Third is this: honor produces a destiny. You know, I mean, think about this. God has a destiny and a purpose for your life, and honor will actually put you into that destiny. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is the second place where the Ten Commandments are written down. And in verse 16, you have the same commandment that we read in Exodus, the fifth one. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life where? In the land the Lord your God has given you. So when you honor your mother and father, there is a place where you're supposed to be, a destiny, a promised land that God has for you. Some people will say, well, for the Christian, that's heaven. No, it's not, because if you look at this, you know, the promised land still had enemies. There were still foes. There was people that they had to conquer in the promised land. In heaven, there are no enemies. This is talking about our lives right now. To apply this to the Christian believer, if you honor your father and mother, there is a destiny or a promised land, a position that God has for you that he wants you to live in and abide in. But the only way you get there is by honoring your father and your mother. Honoring those who are in authority. You see, the promised land for the believer is living the overcoming Christian life. It's where you still have enemies against you, but you have overcome those enemies. And you can live in faith and in blessing and in God's destiny for your life. And it starts with honor. It's where you defeat the enemy and you live in the blessing that God has for you. It's where it's not just something that you say, but it's something that you do. It's something that's in your heart. I'm going to skip the verse. It's in your notes. You can look at it later. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is having this conversation with the Pharisees, and he actually goes to this, this commandment where he says, you know, you say that you honor your father and your mother, but you're so disrespectful to them in how you act. And I'll just let you read it yourself, but think about that. You're not where you should be. You're not in your destiny because you haven't learned honor. It's a vital principle for our lives. So, just to wrap this up, what if you have bad parents? What if you had bad parents? What if you're looking at this or hearing this right now and you say, you know what? Man, yeah, I messed up royally. You know, yeah, I had bad parents, but then I didn't honor them. How can I make this right? Well, number one, you can start honoring at any point in your life. It's a choice. Some of you may have had, you know, parents who never knew Jesus, never knew better. Don't hold that on them. Forgive them and start to honor them. You know, it's even worse when you have church parents who are bad parents that should have known better. But the principle's the same. You have to choose to honor them. Honor is not earned. It's commanded. And it's not a parent that's commanding it. It's God. So we must choose, what will we do? Will we follow God and honor those who maybe don't even deserve to be honored? Or will we choose to say, I know better than God? It's a choice. You see, you choose to understand that you are raised by people that don't know everything. You know, I have amazing parents, but they weren't perfect. There's things I disagree with, even now. But I will honor my parents because they're people. If you're going to expect perfection, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you've ever had, or if you have, parents that are dishonorable, you need to choose to forgive them. Wrap it all up with this. It's time that as Christians that we don't think the Ten Commandments are outdated. This is actually really good. I just thought of this in here. Didn't want to miss this one. The Ten Commandments are not outdated for our lives. We need to update them, you know? I really don't like Microsoft 10 or iOS 10.1, but I update my computer all the time, my software, so it runs more efficiently. The same way in our Christian lives, you may need to update the Ten Commandments in your lives so that your life is actually blessed, so that your faith increases, so that you can walk into your destiny. Because they are for now. These commands, these principles for life, they are for now. They're for you right now, each and every one of us. Not just for those under the age of 18 or there's some kids that are like 30 and their kids in their parents' house still. But anyways, honor your father and your mother. Honor the authorities that are over your life. And you'll have greater faith. You'll have blessing. And you'll have a destiny that you can walk and live into right now. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, I thank you for this day to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for these principles that you have laid out before us and your commands. Father, I ask that we would not be an entitlement or faithless generation. That if we have been dishonorable to those who are in authority over us, whether it's a boss, whether it's the government, whether it's a parent, whether it's a coach or a teacher, God, I ask right now that we would ask for your forgiveness and that we would make these things correct in our lives and that we would submit to the authorities that are placed over us. Father, for those that maybe have authorities in their lives, whether it's a parent or whatever else, that are not honorable, that you will still help us to give us the grace to follow your command for our benefit. Because, Lord, this is for our benefit, not for others. It's for us. We thank you for this day to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah?
You got a refrigerator.
What is it? Oh, I will. Okay. God bless you guys. This is not for you, it's for me. Have a wonderful afternoon. If you need prayer for any reason this morning, doesn't matter what it is, we have... I'm sorry, Joyce and Angie are here to pray for anybody that needs prayer this morning. So they'll just be hanging out here in the front. My mind just went blank really quick.
Don't worry.